Let's just open in prayer and we're going to carry on there. Father, this morning, it's a joy that we have this amazing access into this grace in which we stand through your Son, Jesus. And I think you are pretty excited to share and open it up to us that we may participate with your grace, that we may learn more and be established in your grace and just begin to grow and mature more and more into the reality of your grace. So thank you, Father, for that. And so, again, it's through your Son we lift up each and every one of your family in our nation. And we just thank you today as you minister through your Holy Spirit for giving revelation, understanding, so that your family will really just grasp the incredible truth found in your Son Jesus. And we will be such an incredible witness of your glory, of your grace and who you are. And we want to thank you for that. So thank you as you minister to each and every one of us and our own particular needs. Today, Father, thank you as you reach out and in your Son Jesus impart the gift of healing into those that need healing and encouragement and grace and whatever, Father, because you just love to lean forwards through your Son and bless us with your incredible love through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. So thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit ministering to all of us, ministering in our communities and our towns, ministering in our families all over. We want to just celebrate, Father, that you're showing us who you are, and that gives us hope and confidence for our future. And we want to bless you and praise you through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue where we left off last week. We started looking at a little bit of what grace is all about. And often we would say to ourselves, I understand grace. We're in a time where we it's not just understanding. We're in a time where we need to be established and we're living in the reality of grace. And that's why this is such an important a truth that the Holy Spirit is just helping us to understand and to be established in it. All of us, we know our lives, we know things that take place, and we look into the future and we see, well, what's the future going to be looking like and how are we going to get through it? And that's why to be able to understand grace and to be able to be established and to grow in grace is such an incredible time that we've got to be able to do that. So I'm looking here in Romans chapter 5, and I'm busy here in verse 1 and 2 as we've been. So let me just recap over there. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel? The gospel is all about his Son Jesus Christ, the good news of God concerning his Son, who is a descendant of David, and it's about his earthly life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and just the incredible glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the Father speaks through his Son Jesus. So the good news is about his Son, and the Holy Spirit takes that and makes it known to you and I. And so it is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have peace. And then verse 2, through whom? So again, through Jesus, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we looked at this word last week, for instance, the word stand, which really refers to the reality of stability, of position, to be able to handle resistance that comes throughout life. We'll find ourselves standing. So in the storms of life, we find ourselves pretty secure and rooted and established in this grace of God. And that is what we've been looking at now, and how to live in a day-to-day reality of our lives. How do we live being very aware and conscious of standing in this grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. And what does it mean? What does it look like? And so over the next couple of Sundays, I believe God will just open up more and more, and we will look at many examples in Scripture to be able to just get a better picture. As I shared last Sunday, there's no English word that describes grace. It's very limited. And that's why we've got to look at the different examples to really see the different attributes of this grace of God. And we start to say, wow, it's a bit bigger than what we realized at first. Now, one of the things that's important to realize is the fact there that we grow in grace. Remember with the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2, we see over there when he went to the temple, and let me read there in verse 40. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then it carries on there in verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor and grace with God and man. So here we see that our Lord is setting us an example that he had the spirit of wisdom in him. He had all the fullness of manifest sevenfold manifestation of the Holy Spirit operating there. But he grew in wisdom. He grew in grace with God and with man. And so you and I, we are growing, we're growing. So even we may have an infant understanding of grace right now, we're going to be growing and we're going to be established. And that's an incredible journey for us over there. Another scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter is speaking to the body of Christ over there in verse 18, or let me go verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless and fall from your secure position. See, and so we can see here we have access into this grace in which we stand, which speaks about security, which speaks about stability. But he's saying be careful so that you don't fall from your secure position. But grow, in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And we don't realize how often we sort of fall from that secure position because we don't really understand what grace is all about. We've got a definition and that we've got the knowledge about it, but it's about partaking, it's about experiencing, it's about living in the manifestation of this grace of God that we have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever there's, for instance, in the context that Peter is writing over here, there's a lot of folk that are coming and they are, again, they are distorting the word of God. They are trying to enslave people. They are doing many, many things there to try and and just come against the pure, simple faith in simply believing what Christ has done and walking on a day-to-day basis in that faith that God has given so that they remain in the grace because the righteous live by faith. And that's what is helping them to just get back. Don't get sidetracked. So we look at that now in Romans chapter 1. I want to just recap over here because to understand what it means to stand in grace, we need to look in the New Testament of how grace is released. What is grace? And we'll see there that in the Old Testament there was grace, but it was pretty sort of hidden. It was sort of boxed in a bit. So there wasn't the great revelation of grace. And so in this gospel of God in Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the good news of God, and again, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son. And then he carries on and he says over there, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ the Lord, through him we have received grace and apostleship to call. And so once again, we see here that our Heavenly Father, the way he deals with you and I, the way he deals with humanity, the way he deals now in the new covenant is always through his son Jesus Christ. And so we've got to realize grace comes through Jesus Christ. Our Father's not going to bypass our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see that now as we go on over there. And so it's important to realize, that's why when we go back to that Hebrews chapter 1, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. But also the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And so now we start to go back now in understanding a dimension of grace that is so beautiful. In John chapter 1, I'm going to read a bit of John chapter 1 because I think it's such an incredible, encouraging word, this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just if we just meditate on that for a moment, if we look at what's taking place. Remember, in Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, we as children of God, we have been taken out of the dominion of darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I, as children of God, we've been taken out of that dominion of darkness. That dominion of darkness, everything that is outside of Christ, will not be able to overcome you and I because we are in Christ Jesus. That's why we're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. All the others are shaken and collapsing, but the kingdom of God cannot be shaken because darkness cannot overcome it. And that's our position. That's part of what it means to stand in grace, because in Christ Jesus, we are in this incredible kingdom of God, in his son Jesus Christ, that is eternal, unshakable, and grace operates in the reality of this kingdom of God that you and I are in. And then in verse 7 over there, let me just carry on over there. He came as verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone. This is John the Baptist now proclaiming, and now this is Jesus. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but he did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, very important this, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. That's you and I who believe in Christ Jesus. That's why this is such an incredible truth that we're looking at now. We are born of God. Darkness cannot overcome us because we are in Christ. Darkness cannot overcome the light, who is Christ Jesus. We are in him. And so now we begin to realize, wow, as children of God, We through Christ, we have gained access into this grace. It is the gift of God that we are his children. It's our position as a child of God, not as an orphan, as a child of God. That's our position, that we stand, we are secure, we can handle resistance from life, from the enemy, etc., etc., because we are standing in the reality that it was God's will for us to be his children. Okay? It was his decision. It was his will. That's huge if you meditate on that. Now, verse 14. This is what I was looking at this morning, 14 and 17. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who has come from the Father. Now notice, full of grace and truth. Remember what we read in Hebrews. Jesus is the radiance. He is the exact manifestation of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And now we see here in John 4, in John chapter 1, our Lord Jesus, who come from the Father, and now this full of grace is referring to Jesus, but Jesus, full of grace, he is now the exact representative. He's making known what our Heavenly Father is like. Our Father is full of grace and truth. Now, through his Son Jesus, Jesus has now come to this earth full of grace and truth. Okay? Now, verse 16. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Out of his fullness. Remember verse 14? Who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, for you and I, out of his fullness, we have all received. Where does our grace and truth come from? Out of the fullness of Jesus Christ, out of the fullness of our Heavenly Father. We have received. Okay? We'll look at that word now. But I want you to see that out of God's fullness, out of Christ's fullness, out of the overflow, out of his abundance, you and I have, because we simply believed in Jesus Christ, we have all received grace in place of grace already given, grace upon grace. And that grace upon grace is another teaching there concerning how we grow in grace. And we're going to learn how do we participate. We're going to learn how we grow in grace as we go on with this series. Now look at verse 14. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came. Let me read that again. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Verse 17, there's two words here that are vital for us to understand the difference between the old and the new covenant. Verse 17, for the law was given. What's the difference between given and came? For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Well, the difference is it's huge. God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, to Moses on a written tablet. Okay? And so it was words that they could read and then try and obey those words. And so they remained words, they were there, but all of a sudden we see grace and truth. Christ is full of grace and truth. And that word then says came through Jesus. This word came is such an incredible word because it means, it really means to come into being. It means that grace and truth came into existence through Jesus Christ. It's not just words that we read about. Now, grace and truth came into being. Grace and truth came into reality. So from words, now all of a sudden, grace and truth came into reality in the person Jesus Christ. So Jesus did not just speak about grace and truth. It's not something that you and I just read about. Jesus was grace and truth. See, that's who he was. Jesus revealed grace and truth because of being it. And that's the fundamental difference. So when you and I begin to realize, but now in Jesus, Jesus manifests because that's who he is. He is grace, he is truth. And where are we when you got born again? We are in Christ. So we are, by incredible grace of God, we are in Christ Jesus. So we are now established, we are rooted, we are standing in the reality of being in the incredible manifestation, the fullness of the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the truth that is in Christ Jesus, because we are in him. That's what it starts to mean when we realize through Christ Jesus, we have access into this grace in which we now stand, because we are in him. And you're going to see why the centrality of the cross is so, why Christ, who Christ is for us who live by faith, we live in the reality of Christ Jesus, our life is in him, and as we live with our life in him, we are standing firmly in the reality of being in grace, because Christ is grace, Christ is truth. He's made it known. That's the difference over there. And that's why the law is always out there, and we read the law and we want to try and obey it over there. But the new covenant is totally different, because we now live in the reality and the experience of living grace, of living truth. It's not just knowledge. We live in it. We participate in it because we're in Christ Jesus and we partake in his divine nature. And we don't realize how we miss out of this, and we get so worried. What about the future? What about this? What about that? Let me go and, you know, get caught up in all kinds of arguments and conflicts, et cetera, et cetera. That, and we're missing, we're not living in the reality of this incredible, grace that is in Christ Jesus and the truth that is in Christ Jesus, and living in the fullness of that. And that's why we grow in grace. We mature in grace because we have received the fullness, but now by the Holy Spirit, it's opening it up so that we can now grow and grow and grow and be established more and more in the reality of this fullness. Okay. And that's our journey as we become conscious now of all of this over there. Now, as I said, Jesus reveals grace and truth because of being it. So it's not just words. It's a reality, and we're in him. Now, remember last Sunday, I gave sort of two characteristics of grace. The first is that in understanding, when we look at the word grace, what do we see? It's the active love of God. So it's not just God saying, I love you. God is doing something about his love for you and I. So it's the active love of God poured out upon us, and who actually deserved something different from him. And this active love of God comes in a form of a gift. So John chapter 3, verse 16. When we read over there concerning, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So here we see the active love of God in giving us. What did he give us? It's not something we earned. He gave us. It's a gift. His son, Jesus Christ. When man was sinners, when man was enemies to God, made no difference. This is grace. God actively in his love sent his son, Jesus Christ, gave his son, Jesus Christ, for us so that we can have eternal life. This is the reality of grace. Okay. And so in Christ, as I said, in the Old Testament, we get a glimpse of grace. We get a glimpse of truth. It's pretty veiled. It's like, as a Hebrew writer said, it's a shadow of the reality. Christ brings in the reality. So now in Christ Jesus, it's no longer a shadow for us. It's no longer just out there. We live in the reality of his incredible active love. We live in the reality of the incredible love that's expressed in a gift form for us. It could be the gift of encouragement, the salvation, of redemption, of eternal life. All of that is a gift from God. It's something that God gives to you and I. Many times we pray, and we pray sort of with that mindset, I don't deserve it. Well, praise God, he has grace. Because God gives out of his love, despite whether we deserve it or not. Okay. And so this is why this is such an incredible truth. But we're learning what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And so when we understand more and more of what grace is all about, we begin to understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus as well. And that you will see as we go on more and more. So picture this, and this will help you in your prayer life. When we look at grace, we see God himself, who is leaning forwards, extending himself to mankind, giving himself away to people, to you and I, through his son Jesus Christ. So in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, we get an amazing truth over there about, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Why does he use the word throne of grace? I find that fascinating that he would use the word throne in the context of grace. Picture this when you pray. Picture coming in the name of Jesus. You have access into this incredible grace of God. So picture this when you're praying from this Hebrews 4 verse 16. As you come, you have the Heavenly Father. You have your Heavenly Father leaning forwards, welcoming you, leaning forwards, embracing you, leaning forwards, not holding anything against you, because in Christ you have been justified. See, leaning forwards. Don't have to hide away. We don't have to be ashamed. He's leaning forwards in giving himself to you and I. His love is active. He's actively involved now in listening and imparting a gift into our lives that we receive by faith. And that's why the gift in this context here is mercy, receiving mercy to help us in our need. See, so in his grace, there's help. In his grace, in his actively involved in helping you and I, there's an empowerment, there's an answer, there's a solution. His involvement in our lives to help us in our time of need. It changes the way we pray in the name of Jesus. Because in him, in Christ, we have peace with God. See, that's why we've got access with God. So you and I don't have to, oh God, I'm not worthy. No. There was a time, I remember this encounter with God. I was just praying, and it was like Christ stepped in. It was like into the building. And my first reaction was that I wanted to run away. It was just the presence of God was just too overwhelming, and I wanted to run away. And God said, no. That's how the old covenant people experienced me. They wanted to run away. But in Christ, you have access, what he has done for you, so you can remain in my presence. And that's the reality of this in Christ Jesus. We have access. We have got peace with God. So in him now, we can really embrace, we can enjoy that fellowship with our Heavenly Father, as we have fellowship, as we relate with him over there. Now, as I said, why does he say use the word throne of grace? Well, let's look at something over here, because the throne means power, it means dominion, it means kingship, it means ruler, victory. There's so much there that the throne represents. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 5. And let me just read the reality of this grace. For if by the trespass of one man, verse 17, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift, you see, the love of God is formed, coming expressed in the gift of righteousness, reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. This is the throne of grace that we're speaking about, the victory of grace, the authority of grace that sets us free from the authority of sin and death, that sets us free from where death reigned. No longer, now life reigns because of Christ Jesus, the throne of grace. Guys, we are privileged as children of God to be able to be living in the reality that God's grace rules, it reigns through this incredible gift of righteousness that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we carry on there, and we see over there, verse 20, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, because sin is not going to win. Now we see the gift of righteousness, this grace increases all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just two scriptures that I'm looking at over here this morning concerning the throne of grace, the reign of grace, the authority of grace, the victory that we have because we stand in the grace. We stand in Christ Jesus. Jesus is grace, and we stand in him. Darkness cannot overcome Christ. Christ has overcome darkness. Christ is above every name that has been given. We're in a winning team. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We live in the reality of abundant grace, and the Spirit is helping us to actually believe that and to learn how to receive that and to acknowledge that and to renew our minds to the fact, but Lord, I'm standing in your grace. I'm standing in the reality that you are actively involved in loving me and imparting a gift of life, imparting the reality of reigning in life, imparting the reality of having victory in this area in my life because of your grace that's helping me in my weakness. It's a celebration. God is good. It's good news all the way for you and I as believers. Okay, now, in 2 Timothy, Paul writes there to Timothy, and he speaks and he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It's possible for you and I, and we know this is real, to become very weak in the grace. We don't believe in grace. We get disappointed. God has disappointed us, and we don't trust God anymore because our prayers aren't being answered, and life is this and life is that over there. And the reason that is not because of God, it's because we don't have revelation of what grace is. Again, that's why he's sharing with us right now. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace. Be established, be empowered in this grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Because Jesus is the one that made grace a reality. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. Truth comes through Jesus Christ. God has spoken in the past through various ways, but now he's spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. So he's speaking about what truth and what grace it is. It's found in your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So now, Timothy, be sure that you remain fully secure, stand firm in Jesus Christ, in the union with Jesus Christ, so that you can be strengthened by his grace as you continue in your calling and ministry. Galatians chapter 5. Again, we see in verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value at all. Where's grace come from? Grace comes through Jesus Christ. Okay, truth and grace has come through Jesus Christ. Christ made it reality. He brought it into existence. He brought it into being. It's no longer hidden in the shadows. It is you and I to participate in the fullness, not in the shadow of grace, in the fullness of grace, you and I participate. Okay? Now you have a religious people that are saying, no, that's not enough. You've got to do these things in order to be right with God. You've got to do these rituals. You've got to keep these laws. You've got to keep these commandments so that you can be right with God. And Paul is saying, no. You died to the law. Christ did it for you. You simply believe in Jesus. Stay in that. Live your life in that pure, simple faith in Christ Jesus, what he has done for you, who he is, and live from that life that is in Christ Jesus. And so he says over there, Christ will be no value at all to you. In other words, grace will be no value to you at all. Truth will be no value to you all if you want to bypass Jesus in your life and go into your own ability and efforts to try and to live your life. Okay, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, have fallen away from grace. And that's the reality that you and I face. That's why Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, be strong in the grace. Stand firmly in the reality of what Christ has done for you. Live in that simple faith in Jesus Christ. Stay in union and relationship with him over there. Don't try and any form of self-improvement to get right with God, to try and impress God, to try and get your own righteous standing with God. If you do that, then you've removed yourself from the grace. And he's speaking to children of God over here, okay, that wants to add on to what Christ has done in order to be perfect, and that Christ is the answer. He is our life. We're in him. He's done it for us. We simply believe. We simply believe. We live in the flow of this grace of God. We live in the reality of the truth of God that is found in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so as I close here, listen to this last scripture in Romans chapter 8. We know this so well. And it's an amazing truth about what it means to stand in the grace of God. And he carries on over there, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. That's the reality. Remember grace? It's God's act of love. And that act of love is expressed, it's made known to us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, we're standing, we're secure, we're children of God, we're in Christ Jesus. Darkness cannot overcome him, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or we can say, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is an incredible statement that Paul is giving to you and I today to encourage us to become conscious of the gift, to become conscious of the gift of grace that we have in Christ Jesus, to become very conscious that you and I, we live in that reality of grace. Now, start to just renew your mind to say, but thank you, Lord. Today, I'm in your grace. And today you are actively involved in leaning forward and parting life to me, and parting strength, and parting the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and parting meeting in my needs that I have in Christ Jesus. And all the promises are yes in Jesus, because we're now learning what it is to acknowledge. We bypass this in many ways because faith, the gift of faith, the faith that God gives us, brings us into our reality. If there's no faith, it stays just a knowledge. This is why God spoke to us right in the beginning what faith is all about, so that we can receive the fact that we are actually in the fullness of His grace, and by the Holy Spirit, we're going in our journey in growing in it. We're going to become more mature. We're going to advance. We're going to be strong in the grace. And in a month's time, we're going to be even stronger in the grace. In a year's time, we're going to be even stronger in the grace of that in Christ Jesus, as we learn in this. Okay, so as we have communion, I think it's such an incredible moment where we can just appropriate this by faith this morning. And as you have communion with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, then the heavenly realms, with the angelic realms, with all the saints that are passed on before us, as we have communion, it's such an incredible reality that our Father is leaning forwards to you and I. And as we speak to Him, He's actively involved in imparting something into our lives today. And today, may it be such a revelation of His grace that's actively involved in your life and my life, that we may be established in this. So, Father, that's my prayer, that as we have communion this morning, we will, that you by your Holy Spirit will just open up the reality of us being in the incredible realm of your grace, you leaning forwards, your active love involved, you reaching out, you blessing us through your Son Jesus. And we want to ask now that our minds that have been clouded, our thoughts that have been clouded by the difficulties of life, by the disappointments and all the things that take place, today, Lord, there will be that will be removed, and that the eyes of our heart are opened, and we will just, wow, behold, God, you for us, not against us. And there's nothing in life that will ever be able to come and separate us from your love, from your grace that is found in your Son Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. You becoming and bringing grace into reality, that we may partake in that because we are in you. Our prayer, Father, is that everyone that's not saved, Father, that we know, even today by your Holy Spirit, begin to draw them to Jesus, because so that they, by your Holy Spirit, can get born again. And we thank you for this, for your glory and for your honor. Now let's partake as we have communion together this morning. Amen. Father, now may your grace and truth be from you, and through Jesus Christ be upon each and every one of us. And we receive that, and we thank you that we dwell in the fullness of your grace. We dwell in the fullness of your truth through your Son Jesus. Thank you by your Spirit that you'll give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be able to grasp, to be able to understand, and to be able to know you even better and better as the days go on. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.